Deciphering the biological mechanisms leading to or following microbleeds would enable us to address a key question. Do microbleeds arise and impact the surrounding parenchyma like a miniature version of intracerebral hemorrhages, or do they represent a different kind of injury? I'm Carmen Leif-Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and I spoke to Dr. Vincent Berezowski from the Department of Medical Pharmacology, Lille, France, submitting author of the review article Cerebral Microbleeds Beyond the Macroscope, whose group analysis supports the need for a convergent effort from clinicians and basic scientists to go beyond the current macro view and disclose the cellular and molecular insights of cerebral hemorrhagic microlesions.
So, good morning. My name is Vincent Berezowski. I'm professor of physiology, and I'm working in the INSERM unit in Lille, devoted to the troubles of the cognitive decline and vascular disorders. And I'm currently focusing my research on cerebral microhemorrhage and also macrohemorrhage.
What is the current evidence on CMB underlying histopathology?
There are some evidences, but the things are not clear at the time. CMB, the problems comes from the fact that cerebral microbleeds do not appear at the same time. They accumulate in the brain with age and disease. In the same brain, you may see acute as well as subacute and late microbleeds. So the acute microbleeds are composed of intact red blood cells, whereas the subacute or late microbleeds are composed of lice, the red blood cells, and what we call hemosiderin, which are hemoglobin degradation products with various degrees of iron deposition. We can have this in every brain, and it does not tell us about the natural history of the microbleeds.
So can you identify and then walk us through the hypothetical biological cascades following the onset of cerebral microbleeds?
There is no cerebral microbleed-specific damage that has been evidenced to date. So all the hypotheses come from the field of hemorrhagic stroke. But as they are of microscopic size, cerebral microbleeds do not exert any mechanical injury. They do not crush neuronal dendrites nor the neighboring capillaries, so they do not provoke ischemia nor infarction. We can only speculate on a secondary injury possibly exerted by the cytotoxic action of blood components. I mean, thrombin, fibrinogen, iron. And these are known as neurotoxic molecules, but we are not sure about the ability of such small amounts to have a significant effect on the brain tissue. So we are rather in favor of a disturbance of the neuronal network linking brain areas, and only if the cerebral microbleeds are numerous and disseminated in both cortical and subcortical regions of the brain. Unfortunately, MRI sequences are not sensitive enough to address this in the small rodent brain.
So when assessing cerebral microbleeds, what are the available experimental models?
There are few animal models enabling the study of cerebral microbleeds. Most of them are models of Alzheimer's disease or cerebral amyloid angiopathy, where cerebral microbleeds appear spontaneously along the progression of the disease. There is one model that provokes a CMB burden after injecting lipopolysaccharide to simulate a great inflammatory state in the mouse. All these models are useful tools for the examination of cerebral microbleeds in a disease situation, but we lack non-diseased animal models to study the proper effect of a disseminated pattern of microbleeds. Single injections of collagenase enzyme can be done, but the laser resembles more to a microhemorrhage. And only one team managed to use a laser beam to target one arterial or one capillary, but it's technically challenging and it prevents from obtaining a multiple CMB burden. In our lab, we recently managed to do this through the carotid injection of nanoparticles. We published this month in Neuropharmacology Journal.
Wow. So what are the available... So then can you comment further on therapeutical perspectives on this condition?
Cerebral microbes represent a huge concern for neurologists because they might be a sign of upcoming cognitive decline. And there are several experimental studies that have tried to prevent the onset of cerebral microbes by targeting the blood components or by protecting the vessel wall. But the strategy is not efficient enough. And second, cerebral microbes trigger therapeutic dilemmas in clinical practice, such as the management of antithrombotic agents. And very few animal studies have addressed the issue of the transformation of cerebral microbleeds into a symptomatic hemorrhage through the modulation of anticoagulation. We have done that also in the paper I mentioned just before. And we found that warfarin was the only one to induce a deadly ICH. And then we have some differential effects of direct oral anticoagulants depending on the mechanical effect. So we really need more experimental work around this topic, and even future clinical studies should include and compare patients with CMBs and treated with various oral anticoagulants.
You've titled the paper really interestingly, Cerebral Microbleeds, Beyond the Macroscope. So can you give us a bit of an explanation of what you mean by that? Because I know that links quite closely into your analysis.
We found that title because we had the impression that there are very few studies examining the cerebral microbes deeply in the mechanical insights and in the biology specifically, because many teams are focusing their efforts on MRI and/or diagnosis, but we need more mechanistical insight to understand better how if they are really deleterious or not. And for that, in our new model, we managed to have a cognitive impairment 9 months after onset in a wild-type mice without disease. So it seems to be that the microbes have a proper effect on the cognition. And this effect could add to the one of the underlying disease. So neurologists are right to take care of that and to be frightened by these microbes. I would like to help them to better understand what they do to the brain.
What's your long-term goal in terms of exploring macrobleeds? I mean, I know it's a very important and exciting area. How do you see the future with managing macrobleeds for patients and making sure that they get best care?
We need to improve the decisions regarding anticoagulations and I would say the management of antithrombotics, because the fear that is remaining among the neurologists is the transformation into ICH. This is the more urgent thing to resolve, I think. And the second is that maybe we should manage patients with imaging to better diagnose the cerebral microbes at the earliest stage of the disease. Because if they are really a proper effect on the brain, the sooner we detect them, and the better the patient will be taken in charge, I would say. Mm.
You've been listening to a podcast interview with Carmen Leif Jenkins, Managing Editor of the International Journal of Stroke, and Dr. Vincent Berezowski from the Department of Medical Pharmacology, Lille, France, submitting author of the article Cerebral Microbleeds, Beyond the Macroscope. The International Journal of Stroke is the flagship publication of the World Stroke Organization. Please consider becoming a member.